So, before we start with anything, I just wonder if there's any regurgitation or questions or anything from this morning, or from earlier sessions on this morning. Anybody have any comments for this?
So this Rupa Goswami has eternal form as Rupa Manjari?
Yes. And that form exists in two places at the same time, both in Gaura Lila and in Krishna Lila. That one form is in the Krishna Lila as a young girl, and another form is there in Gaura Lila as a young man. Anything else? Okay, so we can start with verse 1. And how many people have books? Read your book. Okay, it's everything. So we can recite responsibly.
Vacho vegam manasi krodha vegam jiva vegam darapasta vegam etam vegam lobisahita vira sarvam vimam pritivim sasishat.
A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. We'll read a few things from Srila Prabhupada's purport. We'll just jump around. I presume all of you are reading this at home as part of your lessons. We'll test you on all these things later on. I suggest you do. We're just going to read certain excerpts from each one of Prabhupada's purports, which represent certain points, and we'll expand more on this. So Prabhupada begins in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:1-9-10. Parikshit Maharaj placed a number of intelligent questions before Sukadeva Goswami. One of these questions was, why do people undergo atonement if they cannot control their senses? In the first couple of pages, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about this process of atonement. And we should understand what relevance does this atonement have with this verse, Vacha Vega Manasi Krodha. Prabhupada, after this sentence we just read, he gives an analogy how a thief may know perfectly well that he may be arrested for stealing things. He may actually even see someone arrested. But still, he wants to go and steal something because people are so very, very foolish. So, what is the purpose of speaking about this Vacha Vega, Manasa Krodha Vega, Jiva Vega, and Pasta Vega? What is the purpose of this? What does this have to do with bhakti? You may be interested to know that Radharaman Das Goswami, the commentator we were speaking about earlier today, he says the following: Tena cha tat vega sahanasya bhakti pravesho payobhidvam eva natu sahanakvam tashya so prakashatva yu pakama vedati avaha. He says, by subduing these six passions, one merely gets qualification to enter the realm of bhakti. Controlling these six passions is not directly sadhana bhakti. Okay? Sometimes brahmacharis have to hear that. Especially, right? It's not sadhana bhakti. We don't really care. In one sense, even Prabhupada gets in one purport, he says that Garuda is a non-vegetarian Vaishnava. So it's not that the regulative principles are the first and foremost thing. But what is the importance here? He says that these things give you the qualification to enter the realm of bhakti, because you don't have qualification to even hear about these things if our mind is so disturbed and taken from one place to another. He says, controlling these six passions is not a direct sadhana bhakti. It's not a direct something you practice as part of sadhana bhakti. It's something the yogis practice, the tyagis, they practice as part of their sadhana. We know our goal is not just to control our tongue and to control our senses. Our goal is Krishna bhakti. But Rupa Goswami, who is Rupa Manjari, who is Mano Bhishta of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's giving this thing first. So we should understand its relevance. He says, These things are not directly seven of bhakti, but rather the doorway through which one may enter the realm of bhakti. Because if we're doing these things, there's no question of us being able to enter into the realm of bhakti. Although there may be some persons, like Guru or Jatayu, or a few other personalities who are non-vegetarian and don't strictly follow principles, those personalities are exceptions. They're unusual cases, and it has something to do with their particular bodies and their particular deva. Sometimes even the Lord's associates, they may perform some pastime like that. But it's not the general. Because, he says, bhakti is self-manifest. The word sarup shakti. When it makes its appearance, these six passions automatically become pacified. We don't cultivate these things. This is not our goal. Bhagavatam, first canto of the Sukhmani, very famous verse. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnanayatya Shilayro Jnanam Shilayro Haitukam. But all these things, these are the insignificant fruit of bhakti. We get bhakti, and automatically the senses become controlled. All these things come automatically. So, but in the beginning of bhakti, Prabhupada is pointing out here in this purport, we need to become human beings. We can't be beasts. We need to control our senses. So he's pointing out this thing about atonement, because there's some people who also do like this. Many times, in fact, the process of prayaschitta, or atonement, is to fast, or to be celibate, or to do some of these six, to control some of these six passions, to do monavrata, or this or that. So Prabhupada notes here in the purport that Maharaj Pariksit, he's asking, even though they've done these things, why do these things come back again? And it's significant, he's asking this question right after Sukadeva Goswami described the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam to him. And he was very horrified. Oh my gosh, this is a very unpleasant future ahead for many, many people. So what can they do to avoid this? That's what he's asking him. So Prabhupada, he says that even if such a person atones and is punished by the government, he'll again commit theft as soon as he comes out of jail. If punishment in jail is considered atonement, what is the benefit of such atonement? In Parikshit Maharaj, he thus inquires that, he says that it's like, manje kunjara sochala. I've probably quoted this verse many times. Kunjara sochala means an elephant's bath. An elephant goes in the water, it takes a very nice bath, and puts water all over itself, and becomes very nice and clean. And then it comes back on the shore, it immediately starts rolling in dirt. So what is the benefit? It's a very good analogy. For so many people, they control their senses for some time, but then they again take up sinful activities. So what's the value of that? And the Prophet says another thing, reads it another point. Similarly, many spiritual practitioners chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at the same time, commit many forbidden things, thinking that their chanting will counteract their offenses. Of the 10 types of offenses one can commit while chanting the holy name of the Lord, this offense is called Namno Baladyasya Vipaka. Here, committing simple activities on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Similarly, certain Christians go to church to confess their sins, thinking that confessing their sins before a priest and performing some penance will relieve them from the results of their weekly sins. So, Prabhupada, the next purport, he says that real atonement involves coming to real knowledge. And for this, there's a standard process. When one follows a regulated hygienic process, he does not fall sick. A human being is meant to be trained according to certain principles to revive his original knowledge. Such a methodical life is described as depression. Now, I'd like to read the next few sentences here, and I wonder if all of you please listen attentively, and I'm curious if these sound familiar to you, because probably what he's doing here is paraphrasing a few verses from the Bhagavatam. And I wonder if any of you are familiar with them. Prabhupada says, one can be gradually elevated to the standard of real knowledge or Krishna consciousness by practicing austerity and celibacy, monacharya, by controlling the mind, controlling the senses, by giving up one's possessions in charity, by being avowedly truthful, by keeping clean, and by practicing yoga asanas. However, if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a pure devotee, he can easily surpass all the practices of controlling the mind by the mystic yoga process, simply by following the regulated principles of Krishna consciousness. You don't count. Anybody else know where these are from? Very good. Huh? Very good. So the verse Prabhupada quoted many times. Nice verse. Tapasa brahmacharya jena sanena cha dhanena cha tyagena satya socha yanyane eka yamena niyamena va vihava purimandira karma gyashari anvita kipanagam maharapya venugom manimala. Let me do the translation. To concentrate the mind, one must observe a life of celibacy and not fall down. One must undergo austerity, voluntarily giving up sense enjoyment. One must then control the mind and senses, give charity, be truthful, clean, and non-violent, follow the regulated principles, and regularly chant the holy name of the Guru. The Prabhupada says, after you do all those things. Thus, a sober and faithful person who knows religious principles is temporarily purified of all sins performed using body, words, and mind. Temporarily. He says, these sins are like the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree which may be burned by fire, although the roots remain to grow again at the first opportunity. You know the next verse after this?
Kechit.
So, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Pariksit, you can do all these things. And many times, it's a little funny, since we quote the Prabhupada quotes these verses many times to emphasize the necessity and importance of brahmacharya life, cleanliness, being regulated. And oftentimes Prabhupada quotes the next verse. Because at the end of this verse, he gives all this long list. You can be a brahmachari, and you can take bath, and do austerities, and do all these things, be honest, and clean, and follow regular principles, and chant, and all these things. And it will temporarily purify you. But all these things will come up again, just like, the roots of a bamboo tree. Although the top of it may be burned, those roots come up again. So what is the only thing, the only answer, is bhakti. Kechit kevalena bhaktya vahavaya parayana agamdun vanti karchchena niraham ila bhaskara. So he says, just like the fog. The fog is there, it's very difficult in Vrindavan during the winter season. For those of you who know Yashoda Mahi has been here for many, many years, you know, isn't it? In a few months from now, you won't see the sun maybe for weeks or even a month or two at a time. So that sun is very powerful because it's weak this time of the winter. If the sun's very powerful, then it cuts through that fog. Just like someone who has adopted unalloyed bhakti, kevalya bhakti, it's kevalya bhakti. They're not taking shelter of anything else. For them, those roots of the bamboo plants, they're very easily dissipated. So, then how do we do that? How do we adopt the kechit kevalya bhakti? If you look in Prabhupada's purport, he's paraphrasing more or less these first two verses. And then there's a third verse. Natata yagavan rajan pugita tapa adi yata kishnarpita pranas tat pollution sailam. These three verses, four verses on the road. Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Pariksit, my dear king, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord, and thus learns how to dedicate his life to Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and the other methods of atonement I've previously described. And this is what Prabhupada is saying here in the purport. He says, however, if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a pure devotee, he can easily surpass all the practices for controlling the mind by the mystic yoga process simply by following the regulated principles of Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important point. We need to be able to follow these principles. But how can we do that? The 11th canto of the Bhagavatam describes a similar thing. Krishna tells Uddhava. There he says that there's devotees should come together for the sake of hearing Hari Katha. How does it begin? Anyway, nice verse, very nice verse of the Swami's he says that by doing that, by coming together and discussing Hari Katha, then our hearts become purified. And in his purport, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, by doing this, we come together and we get some higher taste. And then devotees begin discussing amongst themselves. And they say, you know, I used to watch television a long time ago, and it was really difficult for me to give that thing up. But then, you know, I started really, really trying to chant very seriously. And I'm going to Bhagavatam class every day. And at the same time, television just seemed really stupid. And I just didn't have any time for it. And the other one says, you know, I get the same kind of feeling too. And then somebody else who's still watching television gets some inspiration. Yes, I can also do that. Huh? So we need to have association. 2 points of them. We need to have association to be able to give these things up. Be able to control our senses. And the second point is that if we want to preach, if we want to help other people, we have to become the Swamis. Pityadharma sasishya. Srila Prabhupada translates that he can initiate disciples all over the world. Literally what it means is that he can teach. He has the right, he has the adhikar to speak something. So, the karmis, these people, they try to control their senses. They can't control their senses, they do some prayaschitta. But then again, after some time, they again take up sense gratification because they're not able to control themselves. But there's another kind of person also, which is a little more pointed, a little more direct toward ourselves. Srila Prabhupada says, we read it this morning, many spiritual practitioners chant the Hare Krishna mantra at the same time, commit many forbidden things, thinking that their chanting will counteract their offenses. So this is described in Padma Purana, in the 10 offenses to the Holy Name, as no baladyasya hi papabhuya na vidyate tasya yamayari suri. And in that verse, the word yamayara, Dr. Bhakti Vinod is hiding in Chaitanya. He's described that Yamaya has two meanings. Yama means the senses. Uh-huh. That's one meaning. That, let's see, it's a nice translation. Persons who have a tendency to commit simple activities in the strength of the whole Indian can't be purified by any artificial processes such as Yama, Niyama, Yama, Varna, etc. This is certain. There's another meaning. The other meaning of yama is yamaraj. That if you commit this offense to the holy name, then, and you think that you can commit some simple activity on the strength of the holy name, someone who does like that, they can't be purified. Even by many, many, many countless lifetimes in the hellish planets being tortured by yamaraj. Because the purpose of going to those hellish planets is not just to get people to come to church and give some money. But the purpose of going to the hellish planets is to become purified. But if you're doing this activity, then even after many, many births, you won't become purified. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Hariman Chintamani in chapter 9, he has a very long, nice explanation about this thing. And he mentions a few points which are important for us to note. We can sing some of his verses.
Jadi kabu pramade gataya kona papa bhakta tabu nahi sahe prayaschitta tapa. He says that somebody who's accidentally committed some sinful activity, there's no necessity for them to do any prayaschitta. It's not necessary. We're taking shelter of the holy name. It's not that we're trying to use the holy name like a toilet brush to go and clean out the offenses or sins that we may have. There's much, much better things for the holy name. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes it, Name is it Mukti Tucha Falahoy Nama Basa Hunti. That mukti, liberation, that thing which everyone is hankering for and trying to get and throughout the Vedic literatures, it's tucha fall. It's a very, very insignificant fruit of even Nama Basa. Mukti Tucha Falahoy Nama Basa Hunti. The real fruit is Niraparada Nama, Pai Krimadana. If we give up offenses to the holy name, Hare Krishna, please come. Then the real fruit of our chanting, good person. So, the real fruit of chanting Harinam is to get Krishna praying. And we're not concerned, we're not taking shelter of all these other forms of pious chitta. Even if we do something wrong, even if we commit some sinful activity. Srila Vyasadeva describes Namaparada Yuktana Namanyeva Harantika Avishranti Puyuktana Tani Vata Haranicha. This verse from Padma Purana is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavatam Purana. It says that even if someone is committing offenses to the holy name, the solution is to keep chanting. Because by that chanting, those offenses will go away. However, if someone is committing sinful activities and thinking, oh, I can do this thing, I can commit these sinful activities, because I'm chanting the holy name, it's not going to affect me. It's like once in a class we heard one devotee say that actually Vaishnava Parad is really not such a dangerous thing. It doesn't really apply to us. Because we're going every day to the Tulsi Puja and we're chanting 16 rounds and doing this and that. But the Bhagavatam says, Mahabhimana, Sakritabhimana, Nakshatridhat api Sudhapani. You need me Sudhapani Shiva. Even Lord Shiva will fall. He's Vaishnavana Mita Shambhu. He's not going to do Vaishnava Parad. But the Bhagavatam, fifth canto, says that even if Lord Shiva does Vaishnava Parad, he'll fall down. So if we think that, oh, it's okay, I can criticize people, I can criticize devotees, I can do some simple activities, I can do this thing or that thing, and it's not so good, I know, but it's no big deal, because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, it's not really going to affect me. This is a very, very, very difficult thing. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur, he says that sins are not so difficult to drive away. He said they're just like dust. And they go away very easily, chaitva dharpa on the margin. He said, but offenses, they're like a thunderbolt. They're very, very powerful. Very, very difficult things to uproot. So Prabhupada, why is he discussing this point here about namna balavyashahi papabhut here in this purport? Because if we begin take up the process of Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada, as he says in the purport, that someone takes shelter of a pure devotee, and then under the guidance of that devotee, Prabhupada says, they follow the regulated principles, refraining from illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. They can very easily do all these things. But if we come to Guru, if we come to the association of sadhus, the sadhu samaj, the association of devotees, and we're a duplicitous person, it will be very, very bad for us. Better that we bear a straightforward vishaya. I'm just a sense enjoyer. I can't control my senses. I can't do this. I can't do that. Srila Prabhupada never gave initiation, for example, to George Harrison. George Harrison asked him for it. Prabhupada didn't give him that thing. Apparently didn't feel that it was appropriate for him. How is he going to follow the regulative principles? He's a member of the Beatles and so many people are coming in with so many different illicit activities. But Prabhupada encouraged him. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is famous as Pati Pavan. Our Guru Maharaj used to say, he's not Kapatya Pavan. He doesn't save crooked persons. So this is another indication in this verse that we should follow these activities. And not just make a show of them, but actually do them. We should actually take shelter. This is how, Prabhuji was asking earlier, how do we serve this book? We serve this book by following instructions in this book. That's the best way to serve it. Another nice way to serve this book is you can worship it. You can keep it on your bookshelf, and you can dust it off, and you can offer artik to it. Sometimes devotees, they may put a gold, solid gold altar underneath it. You can distribute this book. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he discusses these different ways that we can worship the Bhagavatam. You can do all those things. Selling the books, distributing books, that's also a way to worship Rupa Deshamrita and please Rupa Goswami. But what's the best way? What's the best way to worship this book? By following Rupa Goswami's instructions. By adopting them. And if we don't do that, and we may do all these other things, you may have a solid 24 karat gold asan for your book, and you're offering artik every day, and you're going to distribute 100 copies a day or 1,000 copies a day, but you're not following these principles, what is the benefit? Kunjara Sochava, it's just a bath of an elephant. We're making some show. And all that it will contribute to, one sadhu was once telling us that if you have gyan with no realization, gyan with no realization results in pride. So Rupa Goswami, in the very beginning, he's helping protect us from this pride. Patista Rajubirubhava, Kamajarabhava, Patibhira, Chitkatu Samarandastanabhade, Pandumambhata. In his Brajabilas Tava, Raghunath Das Goswami starts with this verse. He gets such a very rustic, nice book, but he begins with a verse which is very similar to Vacha Vega Manasa Krodha Vega. He says, I'm on the path of bhakti, but something bad happened. Just like you want to go to Radhakund for Bahulastami. And so you're going to leave at 11 o'clock at night. And you see on the road, by Chetikar, there's some person standing there waving for you to stop. So you think, oh, probably heard my class earlier today and he wants to appreciate, say something nice, give me some prasadam or something. So you stop your car. What will happen, Mataji?
Stop the car.
You may meet somebody. You think, oh, he wants to glorify me. He wants to say something nice, huh? He's stopping me on this road to bhakti, on this road to Radha. But what happened? Is it that way? I know when Mataji was coming back from Bahalasam, she got shot. When two dacoits tried to stop the car, they shot a shotgun through the windshield. She got some stuff in her, some pellets away from the shotgun in her chest. It almost killed her. Very fortunate. And the taxi driver panicked and did a quick U-turn and drove away before the bandits could get them. So Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, in the same way, there's some bandits on this road of bhakti. There's a gang of bandits who are waiting for us. And who are those bandits? Patista Raju Virabhava, Kama Dharabhatna Patina. It's Patista, this false prestige. And this false prestige comes, especially Bhaktivinoda says later on in his commentary, Nupadishamrita, it comes from not following these regulated principles. If we don't, we can't control Vachavega, Manasa, Krodhavik, then we think we're Indra. I can enjoy like anything. Yes, I'll drink, dance, and die. And so that's what happens to people who don't follow these regulated principles. We've all seen them. They become very proud, very loud, very obnoxious and boisterous. But the nature of a sadhu, the nature of a brahmachari, is a very, very quiet, very gentle person. Because they're really doing something. They're really controlling their senses. So Raghunath Das says that this Pratista Raju Birbhadha, he has some friends, this Pratista. Who are those friends? Kamajar. Kama, Krodha, Lova, Moha, etc. Lust, anger, greed, envy. These are the enemies. These are the dacoits on this road. And they're coming and they're tying me up with the ropes of Pratista. Pratista Raju Birbhadha. This is the ropes that they use. The dacoits are lust, anger, greed, etc. And the ropes they use are these Pratista. So Rupa Goswami, in the very beginning here, he's trying to help us. Hey, avoid these things. Don't just come and make a show of bhakti, even of chanting, whatever, but not following the regulated principles on the inside. Better you be a simple person and just say, oh, Maharaj, I'm very sorry, but I'm just a Vishayi. I can't control my senses. I can't do this thing. You know? Krishna says in the Gita, mitya charasa uchite, someone who's pretending, he's a bogus person, he'll never get the mercy of Krishna. So we should rather be simple. And if we want to start chanting the holy name with seriousness, then we should give this activity up of committing sins on the strength of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says there's two types of persons who commit sins on their chanting.
Samsari Manavaji
of persons, Anutap and Niranutap. Anutap means someone who's lamenting. He's a sadhu. He's a Durachari sadhu, Krishna says in Gita. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyava sadareva samantyavya samyagirasi tolisa. He's a sadhu. Samyagiva. He says very strongly. Understand, he's a sadhu. Why? Because he's doing ananita bhajan. He's not taking shelter, Krishna says, of the devatas, or karma, or of gyan. He's only taking shelter of me. But he's a durachari sadhu. He can't control his senses. He's committing some simple activity. But he's a sadhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in some places, he describes that namabhas is of two different types. There's pratibimba namabhas and chaya namabhas. Pratibimba Namabhas is what generally we refer to as Namahara. And Chaya Namabhas is what we generally refer to as Namabhas. Pratibimba means a reflection. Cheta Dharpana. It means that in a Dharpana you see a Pratibimba. There's a Bimba and a Pratibimba. There's the real thing and there's a Pratibimba, a reflection. So that real reflection sometimes looks better than the shadow. Chaya Abbas doesn't look very good. If you see a shadow of a tree, what can you tell about the tree? It doesn't look very impressive. But if you see a reflection in a mirror, or you see a reflection in the water, it looks very impressive. You can see color. You can see something more there. But of the two, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Chaya is better because it's connected to the object. The shadow is connected to the tree, whereas the reflection is not connected. The shadow is that person who may be committing simple activities, but he's anutap. He's lamenting. He's crying in his heart. Oh, I'm doing this thing. This is a very, very bad thing. I should give this thing up. Whereas a niranutap person, he's just an aparati. A niranutap means someone who's not lamenting. He doesn't care. He's just putting on a show. And especially Bhaktivinoda describes them as the mayavadis. An interesting thing is that sometimes the mayavadis, they look better than the devotees. Sometimes. Sometimes they seem like they're better sense control. We send some mayavadi sannyasis and yogis who do amazing things. You know? Very much in control of their senses. And sometimes we see someone who's chanting Hare Krishna and they're not very much in control of their senses. So we might think, some persons might think, well, this is a very bad association. This Vaishnava will be right better. I should associate with this other fellow, this yogi, because he's controlling his senses. No. That Vaishnava, he's much better association. Because he's anutam. He has some lamentation. He's crying in his heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, samsari maneva jiva acharya pap. A human being who performed in this material world, who commits a sin, should repent. He should be anutap. And he should do prayaschitta. But he says, kintu.
Kintu nama bhore jari. Pape kore mati. Prayaschitta nahitara.
Into if someone commits some sin on the strength of chanting a holy name, he's not eligible to do prayaschitta. And Bhaktivinoda says that his future is very, very inauspicious. He says, Bahujama yatanari hai leotar se yaparada hai te na hoya udai. Even after many punishments of Yamaraj, he's not delivered from his offense. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes who it is who commits this offense. He says, Namabasi Vyakti Gama, Ekapata Lokera Sangi Aparadi Hum. By associating with Kapata Lok, crooked persons, duplicitous persons, this kind of offense will come. And we've seen like that, you know, Fakir Mohan Prabhu. When he went to Europe the first time, he went to France. I was wondering, one sadhu, a very nice devotee, sometimes gives lectures here, Krishnamurti, like an elderly sadhu from Odisha. He went to Europe and gave some talks there. And I went to the airport to pick him up when he came back. I was very curious, what did he think? Because he's a very simple village kind of person. It's the first time he's going to Europe. And I asked him, so what did you think of it? He said, oh, it's okay. I said, what did you think of the people in France? And I'm like, oh, is anybody here from France? This won't be a finger. I said, well, what did you think? Because France is a little bit of a heavy place. It's a really difficult place to control the senses there. So I asked him what he thought about the people in France. He made a really bad face. He said, that's the place. And then he told me, he said that some devotee came to him. He said, oh Maharaj, I discovered a very good thing. When I'm chanting my japa, I smoke a little ganja. And I do like that, and it gives me some ananda. I have some happiness in my japa. And Fakir Mohan was very shocked. No. You shouldn't do this. This is very, very bad. We shouldn't do this thing. And then the devotee told him, no, it's okay. And I said, so many devotees do it. In fact, the person I buy it from, he's also a devotee. So, Hare Krishna. This thing is going on. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about. If we associate with people like that, it's okay. He's a devotee. He's wearing Kunti Mala and Tilak and Dhoti and Kirtan. Everybody's giving him respect. I heard him give class last week in the temple. And he's doing this thing. So I can also do this thing. Sabadan. You should be very, very careful. Bhaktivinoda says, that someone who's chanting Namabhas, they're not strong enough yet, and they associate with someone who's committing simple activities in the strength of the holy name, they also commit this offense. Namabhasi janare kusanga jari hoy tali e yaparada kati de nishchoy. He says that this Namabhasi person, if he has this kusanga sangha, this very bad association, he'll also do this offense. He'll also take this thing up. So we have to be very, very careful. Prabhupada's describing it. So we'll stop just now for 5 minutes. And I'll stretch a little bit. I'll come back in just a minute.